Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Day. All right, welcome to the number one Bengals podcast. And we have a very special show today because we're going to be talking about the Bengals draft. They drafted a lot of players. I don't know how many they drafted.
New guys.
That's why we have John, yeah. A lot of players, a lot of offensive linemen, a lot of defensive linemen, a lot of difference of opinion about when they drafted whom and who they decided to take with their first pick for offensive line.
Are you saying you don't know? Is that the problem?
Jackson Carmen, yeah. So we talked about Jamar Chase. We'll get back to him a little later maybe. But let us start with what we were all waiting for, which is offensive lineman, Jackson Carmen, who looks like he's going to play guard, right guard, John. Does that make sense?
Right guard, left guard, I don't know. We don't know which yet, but it would make sense why he would play right guard because they have two natural left guards in Zaire Suofilo and Quinton Spain. Thing is, Jackson Carmen, who was born and raised just north of downtown Cincinnati in Fairfield, Ohio, he almost went to Ohio State, then chose Clemson because he likes Tigers over Buckeyes. Makes sense. And he started for 2 years as Clemson's left tackle, but he never played at guard in high school or in college. He only practiced there. So it is a transition. It is a projection to see how he would play at a new position. But just from seeing him, what he did in Clemson and the growth and the development of what he was at Clemson, he has the traits to translate to guard because he's got the power for it. He's got the handwork and hand usage for it, and he's got the intelligence for it. He can process things really quickly, and that makes sense because when you're in a more condensed space, things are happening a lot quicker. Your pass sets are quicker. Yeah. There's less space for you to be exposed, I guess, to more speedy rushers, and that could be an issue with him if he sticks a tackle. So I think they're making the right choice here by committing him to guard, and he can be a quality starting guard right out of the gate.
No. John, yeah. Let me linger on something you said for just 1 second here. Could be. Those two words, could and be, I feel like are the key words in the offensive line plans for this coming year. You got a bunch of young guys, and it almost seems to me after this draft that the plan for really our starters, the defensive line, for Frank Pollock's offensive line, is to have young men that he's going to shape and mold the way he likes. That seems a bit unusual.
It's going to be a lot. Zach Taylor said,
did you see this?
Zach Taylor said he's going to compete at guard right away.
Just him, Daddy-O. Have you seen the projected starting offensive line? How many 20 and 21-year-olds that age group are going to be on the offensive line? It looks like a frat party.
That's how old football players are. They're in their 20s and 30s. They're not.
They're going to be starting. It's not just him.
Let us please.
The projected.
They're going to be fine. Offensive line is fixed. Let's move on.
It's not.
So
wait, hold on. So it's not fixed though.
So look, John, you talked about his hands. And I watched clips of him, the highlights against Chase Young, and I actually didn't notice the hands being good. What do you mean with he's good with his hands? Because I kind of saw him. Is that what you mean, John? Massages?
Yeah, gives good massages. Teams need it.
So offensive linemen come out of college. Sometimes they like to use their hands in synchronization, or they're just basically using two hands as one, two-handed punches. With Carmen, I feel like he's more adept to using his hands independently, which is good against more refined rushers at the next level. It's good that at 21 years old, he has an understanding of that. He does get a little bit over his hips, and that leads to balance issues. But when he does land his punches, they're very powerful. He's a very powerful player. And I think when you put him inside, in between a center and a guard, when you're just going up against defensive tackles, he'll be in a position where there's like no edge he's really protecting. And like those issues can kind of be mitigated by putting him more inside. So yes, there are balance issues. There are some times where he whiffs and that's a problem. But again, he was only a 2-year starter at 19, 20 years old going up against ACC competition. So there were going to be some bad moments. But the good news is that the more he played, the better he got. And he played the last 5 games of last season with a herniated disc. And then he had to get that surgically repaired. So he was playing through a lot of pain. He was playing actually pretty well.
So, John, it sounds like you're giving it a B-plus to A-minus grade. Is that fair?
I would give it a B.
A B. Okay. So, look, a pick that a lot of people were a little confused about because there were some other good offensive linemen out there that they wanted. And there was they traded down instead of getting like Eichenberg, or right? Is that one of the players they wanted?
Everybody right? wanted Eichenberg. Eichenberg was in high demand.
But the thing that we got is that Willie Anderson supported his work ethic. That's the thing, is that we hear contradicting reports about his work ethic. Am I right, John?
We do.
Some people say that's a... Am I confusing him with someone else? Is that...
You probably are. Yeah.
Okay, so he has good work ethic.
Can we just... Hold on. Let's slow down here. John, let me ask you a question. You got your Jackson Carmen. You've got your... What, Deontay Smith, Trey Hill, that's it, right? From the draft, that's who they got. These are the three linemen.
30% of the draft was offensive linemen, yeah.
Yeah. Now, of those three, who's going to start, most likely?
Jackson.
And the other two won't?
Probably not, no.
And who will?
Williams.
You got Jonah
Competition
Williams.
Between Xavier Suafilo and Quinn Spain. Okay. Trey Hopkins when he comes back from injury. Jackson Carmen, Riley Reiff. That's your starting five.
There you go.
How does that look? And now grade that.
It's about average.
There you go.
And we were below average.
Oh, we were definitely below average.
So we went from being a D student to being a C student.
Just about.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. That's really good. So look, Joseph Osai from Texas. Mm. A lot of people say this guy, great pick. And when I look at him, I see a lot of a straight line speed. Am I right, John? Getting into the backfield.
Straight. Explosive.
Yeah. But I don't see the pass rush moves we saw with Carl Lawson, right? He doesn't seem to have that arsenal.
Well, not yet.
Yeah. So Osai, he was actually born in Nigeria. He didn't really know what football was until he was like a teenager when he came over to America. I think his parents won a lottery to go from Nigeria to America. And then he quickly became a 4-star, I think, linebacker recruit. He played mostly linebacker at Texas before the 2020 season. That's when he then transitioned to more of an edge player. But that explosion and that speed, it helped him be extremely productive at Texas. Like the athleticism, he is as athletic on the field as he was when he tested at Texas's pro day. And yes, there are a lot of things that he needs to work on with his hand usage and stuff like that. But I think he's a really, people talk about motor and effort with a lot of players, but this guy, like, he'll never really quit on a play. And when you have that type of mentality with that type of athleticism, things just tend to click. So he might not be ready right out of the gate like Carl Lawson was when he was a rookie. But I think if you give him like a modest role to begin, he'll give you some production.
And that's really, really honestly, that is the most athletic position in all of football. You got to be, you have to be athletic and you have to be, you have to have those basic traits. And he has them, Dadio, is what
Ben Baby said that on our show. You're just taking what Ben Baby said last
show. Is it wrong to learn?
Well, and he was taking it from Duke Tobin. So this is like.
So here's the thing. Yeah. You're asking me, Dadio, what my favorite pick of the draft was, right?
No.
You can ask me that. And I would say the most important and the biggest signing we had was not Jamar Chase. No.
Wow.
No. It was Evan McPherson in round 5. Evan McPherson. That man is going to change the game. Change the game.
No, it is
No. I don't know if the viewers have seen it, but there is a clip.
Everybody's seen it.
Of a bottle. And it's on a shelf. And Evan McPherson is below the shelf. Now, if he can do that in the game, open a bottle mid-game, think about the psychological warfare that imposes on the opposing
team. Well, not just that, but think about all the opportunities.
Opening bottles, you're like, hey, come get this.
Think about all the monetizing opportunities, you know, like when the Dolphins, when they had that pet dolphin that did all those tricks, it was a stolen. That was a big hit.
This was Ace Ventura. You're talking about the plot of Ace Ventura.
But here we have this man who can open bottles.
But that was not reality. This is.
This is reality. That was reality. Doesn't matter. And Mike Brown is going to really be able to, you know, if people don't want to come watch the games, they will come to watch that pregame show at least. So I love the
opening the bud. Yes.
Yeah. So, John, Osai, I feel like you're going to give him an A-minus grade.
That's about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so look, but John, Cameron Sample.
He
was picked next, and he seems to have a little more refined pass rush moves. Am I right?
So he played at Tulane, which is a little bit lower than Texas, but then he went to the Senior Bowl, and I believe he was the highest graded pass rusher from the Senior Bowl during those practices. So he showed out against other guys who were a little bit older than him. So he was a 21-year-old senior, and he never really produced that well at Tulane, but he won a lot as a traditional pass rusher, and he could also play inside. So he played a lot of like three technique and over the tackle, as well as being on the edge. So I think the Bengals like the fact that he could be used all over the line, and specifically on passing downs, you can move him inside. You have Sam Hubbard, Joseph Asai, Trey Hendrickson, and then you have Cam Sample inside on those obvious passing downs. He is an explosive pass rusher that can shoot a gap, and he can also work with his hands well. So in the fourth round, that's about the player that you want right there.
He's a big boy. He's not huge, 6'3", 267 pounds. He's got to put on a little bit of weight. But he was very successful. I mean, we're talking about the guy who finished the season with 7.5 tackles for a loss, 5 sacks. He knows how those things feel. Once you know how a sack feels, it's kind of like if you know how it feels to crunch on a pistachio nut, it's addictive. You're gonna
like take a bite out of a chicken wing.
No, right? No meat. Yeah. And he pass rush grade 90.4 on PFF. So what I'm saying is, This was a really wise move. I give this pick an A.
Yeah. You know, but I'll tell you something, guys. They're like, John, you're great. I say with what? B+.
That's
it.
B+.
Sure. B+, A minus.
So let me tell you which pick we should actually be the most excited about. And that is Tyler Shelvin. Do you know why, John? You probably know why.
No, I don't.
Because last year, Bill Belichick, when he was evaluating talent, he said, Shelvin has to be on my team. There's no other way around it. He wanted Shelvin, no ifs, ands, or other conjunction. So
he's another LSU guy.
I can't say the other word for monetizing purposes, but you get the point.
Yeah. I mean, he's gonna have a friendly vibe with his LSU friends. We're having LSU reunion.
Yeah. Let's make something clear.
He's a small man.
Have you noticed something, John? If you want to increase your chances of being on the Bengals roster, you should either go to LSU or be named Trey. Have you noticed that? How many Treys and LSUs we have? It's like half the team now.
So I just want to make, I was just kidding about the small man. This man is huge. Huge. Yeah.
Oh, Tyler is really big.
Hold on a second. They only got to pick Tyler Shelvin because they traded with the Patriots. So where are you getting the fact that Bill Belichick wanted Tyler Shelvin?
No, Bill Belichick wanted someone more. But if he had waited around, maybe he tricked us into getting Shelvin.
Yeah,
maybe
John, I can't reveal my sources.
But anyways, Tyler Shelvin, 350 pounds. Can you imagine weighing 350 pounds? That is amazing.
I think you can imagine it.
Okay. I can. I'm getting there. But he's a big man. 34-inch arms, 11-inch hands. Big hands. Yeah. You can put a little fairy in those hands and it'll live a good life there. It's a big hand. It's like its own hand land.
Yeah. Big hands, look, big hands are a great way of threatening people, right? So, I mean, he's out there, he shows his hands, and the quarterback will probably just lie down.
Jazz hands, yeah.
Yeah, he shows his jazz hands, and the quarterback is like, I don't want those hands pushing me, tickling me, whatever, poking me. And the quarterback will just give up. I love it. Let us move on to the third fourth round pick. Bengals really is stocked up on fourth round picks. They got three of them.
You know, I wish they would stock up on second round picks. Using a first,
well, that's round. Harder to do. That's harder to do. They would, that would mean like trading out of the first round or trading down the first round.
Yeah.
So they did not do that.
Proves that is wise.
Okay. Yeah. But so pick 139 in the fourth round. By the way, John is going to give Tyler Shelvin, I think, an A grade for a fourth round pick.
Yeah, B minus.
Well, he's got big hands.
Wow. Wait, John. Do you want him coming on our show with his big hands? And would you tell him to his face?
Oh, I would tell him that you graded the pick B minus.
Okay. He'll come stand behind you and just rest his hands on your shoulder gently to remind you that he's there. And you realize that those hands are as big as some people's arms or feet.
Let's not invite him on the show. And so, okay. No, but really glad to have him on the team. You know, we have mass. We have mass on the defensive line now, right? With DJ Reader and Sheldon. And we have people who can eat up a space. And then we have the smaller guys who are going to try to get to the quarterback, right? So that is a formula that could work today, you know? I think a lot of it just comes down to the linebacker play, which we'll see if they can take a step forward. So then we have Deonte Smith, who went to ECU.
He was hired.
Yeah, like Jeff Blake.
So is it fair to say that Deonte Smith was the pick because Reef is old and they're worried about relieving Reef with Deonte Smith? Is that the mentality of getting your Deonte Smith?
People, I mean, they picked Deonte Smith because everyone wanted them to take a tackle, right? So he is 6'5". He played at like 280, which is like a fourth of what Tyler Shelvin weighs. And there's still a lot to be learned about him. He didn't play that much this past year against really low-level competition. But there are traits there. There are traits of nastiness. There are traits of movement. I think he is another explosive player. The Bengals stocked up on guys who ranked really high in terms of explosion for their
size. Explosive.
And Smith is another one of those guys, but he's not ready to play this year. He needs to put on weight. I think they might get him up to like 310, 315 before he's ready to actually contribute. But he's also going to be 23. So by the time he starts playing, he'll already be in his mid-20s. And at that point, you got to see if he can actually become something.
Well, now they talk a little bit about this 85-inch wing span. And what does that really mean? Why do we need that? Well, he's not flying anywhere. Yeah.
Well, defensive linemen are getting bigger and bigger.
Okay.
Sometimes they will work around you and you will whiff, is what they call it, right, John?
But you're not allowed to pull them.
No. But if you do not have the time to run around, turn your body around and catch up with them, sometimes, yes, you do. It is not actual flying. It's more like leaping and waving your arms, getting some air under the flabby part of your arms.
Yeah.
And recovery. Yeah. I'm not asking John.
Short flight.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. The 85-inch wingspan will be useful.
You're really making me want to eat chicken wings right now, Haji, with you all these different conversations.
Do not consume.
Anyway.
Chicken wings are cold.
Hands off. Hands off.
Well, I just think chicken wings because we're talking about football. You can't have a full meal and talk about football, but you can have chicken wings. That's the rules. Them is the rules,
you know,
John.
Have you seen the way that when people want to be fancy, they have a little like they have an entree and a side and things like that. At Daddy's house, he thinks he's being fancy, but the side will be like a little bowl of chips, and the entree will be like, you know, a Pop Tart. You know, it's like that's
John,
how
do you
this
see
man
the elitism? Do you see his elitism coming through here? He thinks he's better than us. His sides are like
not
what,
John,
like grass.
But I
don't
better
know what they're called. Is it it's grass and hair, like you have hair sometimes. Is that what it is? I don't know. Yeah.
No.
But John, John, you saw the tweet now from Belichick or no?
I did. Thank you for showing that. I don't know why you couldn't reveal your source if it was on Twitter in the first place.
Well, so you just gave it away, John. Twitter's never going to give me that kind of info again. It came on my timeline, not on yours. But okay. No. So John, okay, where were we? Which is so distracting with this.
Evan McPherson.
Yeah, Evan McPherson, such a marketable player. A+. I give it A+ to John.
Kicker.
He's a good kicker.
For those who didn't watch, he's a kicker for the Gators.
And Shane Graham talked about basically in every aspect, he's like the perfect kicker, right, John?
He's good. Like for as far as college kickers go, he was really good at Florida. He's got a bigger leg than Randy Bullock, and he's probably a little bit accurate too. He's going to make the team. Nothing wrong with it.
Listen, let's be honest. How many Bengals games have come down to a kick? A lot.
Too many.
And I'm going to guess if we're going to be winning games, it's not going to be like by 40 points. You're going to rely on the kicker more than once. And we saw last year some pretty nasty kicks. I love this pick. I love a guy with the accuracy that he had. We're talking about he's like generally above 80% accuracy. He's 14th all-time accuracy in NCAA history. What else do you want? He's only missed one extra point in his entire career. One.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when you talk about what else do you want,
it's that, people don't understand. You're like, oh, how can you miss an extra point? You have to understand, kickers always, if you add up their whole career, they always miss. It's not the guarantee. They always miss a few extra points here and there, but he's only missed one.
Yeah,
that's what you want. You want a guy you can put out there. He kicks the ball. That's it. You don't want to think about it.
But okay. So, John. So we move on to the next pick, which is center Trey Hill in the sixth round.
All right. Now let's talk about Trey Hill.
Is this because we need someone in the to fill in the place of another Trey? Because we have a Trey who's our starting center, but he's injured. So is this about depth, or does he have the potential to be a kind of a long-term starter?
I didn't know much about Trey Hill coming into the draft. I learned that he was the number 4 guard recruit in 2018, right behind a certain Penei Sewell. And he hasn't really lived up to that billing as a high school player in Georgia. He played 2 years at Georgia. He was moved to center out of necessity. He started out at guard. I think the Bengals may see him more as a guard, because right now they have Trey Hopkins and Billy Price, but maybe just the guy who can play all 3 interior spots. He athletically is not the greatest fit for what they want to do, not like a Deontay Smith or Jackson Carmen. So the selection was a little bit confusing, but he is talented. And if he gets his weight under control, I think he can be a solid spot starter if it ever comes to that.
The key will be the knees. He's a big man, 319 pounds, 6'3". He's had knee surgery in both. He's had knee surgery in both knees. If the knees hold up, it's clear that Frank Pollock likes a big man. And so does Hoji. We are of one mind. Frank Pollock and I are of one mind. People should be big. Yeah. You got to have bigger, better.
Absolutely.
Football players got to be big, especially the line.
Yeah. So look, we're talking about talented, athletic. And I think the most athletic guy we got in the draft after Jamar Chase is Chris Evans. And you look at this guy. I look at his highlights for over 15 seconds, I think. I looked at his highlights, John. And it's very clear he is to replace Giovanni Bernard.
Now, hold on. You did not watch Captain America highlights, did you?
No. Okay. I don't think so. Okay. No.
All right.
No. But I did. Yeah, I did
because
see
him jump out of a plane. I know you.
He jumped out of a plane and was not injured.
I knew you would do that. I knew you would Google Chris Evans and be like, this guy is awesome. He throws a shield. He's got super serum. No, not him.
This is not him. Okay.
Different Chris, different Evans.
It doesn't matter. Either way, either Captain America or this Chris Evans could replace Giovanni Bernard. And that's what this screams to me, John.
I mean, Chris Evans makes a ton of sense. They have been interested in him since, I believe, the Senior Bowl, when he was being used a lot as a pass catcher down there. That's really where he got on their radar. He wasn't used that much in Michigan. I think he only carried the ball about 300 or so times. He's already 24 years old, so he's a bit of a weird prospect because of that. He actually got suspended due to like an academic mistake is what they called it in 2019. During that suspension, he worked as a carpenter, a dishwasher, and a special teams coach at a local high school before he came back to Michigan in 2020. He only carried the ball like 16 times. So he has a weird story. He started out as a receiver though.
Uh-oh.
We call it the origin story, John. So this is just negating Hoji's whole point. This is called the origin story. They start washing dishes and all of a sudden they're saving the world. But Hoji doesn't want to accept any of that.
He's a big man, and I'm down
you
with
said,
that.
You said that about every player, just to be clear.
We've got
you said
about
every
man.
Player. That is what football players are. What numbers are you looking at when you look at football players? They are all...
Okay, well, how big was Giovanni Bernard?
5'9", 205.
Yeah, 5'9", 205, small man. Now, this guy, big guy. What is he like?
Okay.
220. I don't remember the height, but he's a big dude. You don't need him to be tall. You just need him to be heavy. Because it's harder to stop. It's called momentum, that deal. Harder to stop.
I mean, 15 pounds is nothing. You can gain 15 pounds in a meal.
You're asking me.
I do it all the time. 15 pounds. Giovanni, if he just had one big meal, we were talking about him being the same weight as Chris Evans.
How big do you think his hands are? How big do you think Chris Evans' hands are?
His hands.
10 inches. 10 inches. Big hands. So you're snoozing the trend. We're going for big men, big hands. I love it.
You want to move on?
Yeah,
Wyatt
Hubert, 7th round pick, defensive
end. There's more?
Yeah, this is the last one, I promise. And Wyatt Hubert, he looks like a guy who really wants to be good.
What does that mean?
I ran out of time. But that is just a generic statement that he really wants to be a football player.
I can't really put it any better than that. At Kansas State, I think he had over 50 combined tackles for loss and sacks. He was one of PFF's highest graded pass rushers this past year. Another Senior Bowl guy. Apparently, he's been developing a relationship with assistant coach Mark Duffner for several months now. That's why I pegged him as a potential college free agent signing. But 10th pick in the draft, 7th round, that's essentially a college free agent anyways.
Yeah, but at this point, they're just having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all just having fun.
Yeah.
Look.
The question is, let me ask you guys an honest question. Is this team a different team now, post-draft, than it was pre-draft? Absolutely not. It was a different team when you draft. Listen.
Hold on.
No.
Stop.
When you draft someone like Joe Burrow, it's a different team. But the draft is not a place where you totally change your team, except in those rare, instances. The Bengals will be proven. The Bengals will be proven right now, starting now in the offseason.
Okay.
What is the coaching going to look like? How's the glue going to stick together? Okay. And I hate using glue metaphors when we're so close to Kentucky Derby. I hate that. That's torture for me. But that's what it is. How is it going to coalesce? Okay. How are they going to talk to each other? What's the chemistry like? What are the plays? What's it going to look like? You see, these are the questions.
No, we got a lot of young bodies, some of them with very high upside, very young guys, to take the place of really, you know, if you look at the offensive line, we did not, we put Fred Johnson at guard because we didn't have true guards at some point. We didn't have guys we could trust. We moved everybody around. We didn't have enough pieces to even try to develop guys. And we didn't have the coach for it. Now we have guys that Frank Pollock thinks he can develop on the offensive line.
I believe
we have high upside. Yeah, we have high upside.
And remember, last year, everybody talks about the offensive line last year. Yeah, the offensive line was in shambles last year. Yeah. But maybe because of that, or maybe not because of that, the running game was in shambles. And that's going to be the real question. So, because you can't win a game the way we were trying to play it last year. You have to have a running game. I don't care how much the NFL changes. If you can't run the ball, you know. And so I think a lot is hinging on the return of Joe Mixon. The return of Joe Mixon, that's a game changer. Drafting Hubert in the seventh round is not the game changer.
John convinced me about Ja'Marr Chase, and he is going to open up so much stuff, help the run game for so many different reasons. You know, you look at Joe Burrow in college and we're like, wow, look at the guy. And then you look at the guys he had around him. Justin Jefferson is one of the best young receivers in the league now. Ja'Marr Chase, number 5 overall pick, very deservingly so. And you say Joe Burrow is great, but these guys can take it to a different level when they have those guys that can make the plays downfield. Joe Burrow did not have that. We talked about that last show.
We did.
So he's going to have that. That is going to make the passing attack more dangerous. That is going to make the play action more dangerous and the run game more dangerous.
This is what they call Bengals logic. When you overthink and overcredit and give too much hope for small changes that your team has made. We had the fifth round. We had the fifth pick. That's a big pick. Ja'Marr Chase, probably going to be a very big component of our offense. This was just a draft, but I don't see any huge changes.
No. Another thing is, we might not have superstars on the defensive line, but we have, you know, we have athletic guys. We have Trey Hendricks, and then we have the other guys. So the defensive line, you might not look at it and say, hey, we have the next, I don't know, John Randall or, you know, whoever, great Randy defensive. Bullock. Yeah, we don't have that for sure. But you look at it and you say, hey, these guys, if they can function as a unit and develop just a little bit, it'll be an average to better average line in a year or two. So I think that is all I have to say. I'm giving the grade an A-. That's my grade for the draft.
Great.
Overall draft,
I'll give it a B for now with the potential to be better.
So when you take the Ja'Marr Chase signing into account, I was going to give it an A-. But then when I take the McPherson signing into account, becomes an A+. But I still don't think it's going to make a huge difference, but still, love it. Love it, Ja'Marr. I love it. I love the positivity, guys. Stay positive.
And remember to stay positive when you're thinking about the show and how good it was.
Send the mojo.
Leave a 5-star review. Yeah, just like I give the Bengals a generous grade. They may not deserve it, but I just give it to them. Give our show a generous grade. Leave a 5-star review. Make sure to subscribe. Yeah.
Leave a comment. And who was your, aside from Ja'Marr Chase, put in the comments, who was your favorite pick of the draft? Aside from Ja'Marr Chase. Everybody loved Ja'Marr Chase. I love Ja'Marr Chase. You love Ja'Marr Chase. Who was your favorite? Was it McPherson? Who was it?
I like McPherson. I like, because of Belichick, I like Tyler.
The tweet. The tweet like heard Tyler, around the world.
I like Tyler a lot. I think he could be good. I like Chris Evans, and it's not just because he's handsome, and he makes so much money at the box office. It's also because we don't have to worry about wearing down the running backs anymore. We have Trevion Williams, who's on the show, big upside. Now we have Chris Evans, so I like that pick. I like all the picks. That's kind of what I was trying to say.
New uniforms, new picks.
New day.
Okay, what last question? Then I gotta go. I'm getting actually Manny Petty. So, what is the next big event for Bengals fans? Draft is over. What do we wait for now?
Training camp.
And then we watch them train and learn things about that.
People care about that too.
We start to buzz about, look at Joe Burrow. He looked healthy. His knee looked healthy. Okay, I can wait for that.
Yeah, well, John is probably going to go.
There's going to be a short preseason.
John is probably going to go to the training camp. He's going to go observe and give us updates and videos and all that, I imagine. So, yeah. So, look, training camp is very valuable. It's kind of for it tells you a lot about the season. Last year, a lot of the stuff we said about Joe Burrow, how he looked in camp, was true during the year. So training camp is going to be a lot of fun. But, yeah, so make sure to check out all of John's draft content on cincyjungle.com. He has a lot of good analysis.
Oh, yeah.
You can really, you not only learn the names of all the players, you can find the highlights and you can look at those. And John's grades and analysis. So for Dr. Rosie Dr. Kasmoji, yeah, and John Sheeran, and Dadio MacDoug.
Me on Twitter.
Yeah, follow Hoji on Twitter. Come on, the guy deserves more than 3 followers. I think so. It's me, John, and the producer and our manager. I think he deserves more than that. John has a lot of followers. I don't know if he wants more followers, but go ahead and follow John.
John's a good tweeter. I will give him that.
Yeah.
It's a good
John tweeter. Is very good, yeah. And yeah, you can follow me too. I have a lot of promotional stuff, a lot of stuff I'm selling, but only because I use it myself. So that is all we have. We'll see you next time. So long. This week. Bye.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
the charcoal mask! Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.